13th episode. The Transfer Machine. You have to suffocate them, Ambrosius, said Father Zeno firmly. The two of them were in the laboratory and research rooms where Sabia had been scanned and imaged the day before. The slower you suffocate her, the more completely her soul escapes through her mouth. We must preserve Sabia's soul in a terracotta vessel before it disappears into the ether. Believe me that it is so. I found a diary from Father Lucius in a cell. There's something about an infant who was suffocated in the rose garden. This toddler released his soul as a little cloud into the divine universe. Father Lucius has something to do with this murder, although I don't trust him to have suffocated a newborn. But he is a good observer and saw it. He saw a soul escape. And now we need the soul of this Sabia to breathe life into her recreated form. Life, Ambrosius, life. We need Sabia's avatar complete, with the full charismatic spectrum of a woman. I'm gradually becoming convinced that women also have souls. He spoke faster and faster, like a madman, and Ambrosius almost threw himself on him. He didn't want to let anything happen to Sabia's double, because he had fallen in love twice, with the trapped Sabia and with her replica, which stood lifeless in the laboratory room, only wearing white pants. There's a heavy thunderstorm coming this evening, Father Zeno continued as if in a fever. We will be able to use the transfer machine and revive this woman here, he pointed to the copy of Sabia. Revive, Ambrose, revitalize. So things will have to happen quickly, my friend. Why, this afternoon at the latest you have to suffocate her and capture her soul. Unfortunately it didn't work with the home craftsman. His soul has probably escaped and can no longer be grasped, although I have kept the terracotta vessel that Martinus gave me. What have you done? Ambrosius asked in a strained voice. He was shocked to the core. But Father Zeno just laughed. You want to develop the care and retirement center of the future, don't you? You need money for that, Ambrosius. Lots of money. Our money. Monastery money. Everything has its price, he added sibilantly, letting his gaze slide once more along the copy of Sabia's body and leaving the room without another word. Ambrosius was torn. What should he do? But Father Zeno was absolutely right on one point. If he, Ambrose, wanted to finance his project, then he had to obey the father. He was dependent on the monastery's money. You could turn it around however you wanted. But did all the sacrifices have to be made to achieve this? Could he reconcile that with his conscience and was it worth it? Was it really necessary to eliminate Sabia forever? There simply had to be another solution, and Ambrosius didn't know how to kill Sabia for the life of him. Or how would he manage to convince Father Zeno to let Sabia live? At the same time, it dawned on him that the project could only function properly if the avatar was alive and its original was freed from the light of life. Ambrosius still had the impressive images in front of him when they tried to connect Sam, the home craftsman, to the transfer machine in a complex test environment. Everything had been meticulously prepared on a full moon night. Sam's replica was already strapped in and with different colored cables on the device. This was experimentally expanded to include a second birth. This was intended for Sam, who was due to arrive shortly. Martinus, the worst of the twin brothers, had been entrusted with the task of getting Sam down to the catacombs safely and on time. However, they had not expected his fierce resistance. Sam hadn't been at all happy about having to enter the underground corridors again. He really had better things to do than take part in this crazy project. Sam had trouble making friends with this robot thing right from the start. Father Zeno and his friends could try to say something nicely for as long as they wanted. And now these two clowns wanted to meet him again, for whatever reason. No, this time they could cross him, he wouldn't just drop everything and follow them into the catacombs. So a short duel broke out between the well-trained Sam and the brutal Martinus, on the shore of Lake Bulwiler, right next to a barely visible trapdoor that also led into the underground realm. Martinus finally managed to get the young home craftsman Awayato put things around your neck. The challenging task had been to delay suffocation and capture the soul that was slowly escaping from Sam's mouth. The murder was actually supposed to have taken place in the underground laboratory rooms. Father Zeno wanted to strap Sam to the lounger next to his avatar and transfer as much of the escaping life energy as possible to the artificial body with the help of countless electrodes. He later wanted to get rid of the home craftsman's body in Lake Bulwell. Father Zeno would have kept the most important thing, the soul, in a special container made of Tuscan terracotta. Then he would have taken San's replica up to the monastery tower using the existing chain lift, waited out the storm, and hoped that lightning would be directed at the transfer machine. At that moment, he wanted to press the clay vessel containing San's soul onto the avatar's mouth and begin a heart massage, just as he had learned in a basic life support course at the Elfenberg Nursing and Retirement Center. As soon as he let go of the elastic thorax, he imagined inspiration would come. The previously lifeless doll would suck the soul from the Tuscan terracotta vessel into itself, and the heart would begin to beat. The rude and stupid Martinus thwarted the promising experiment outside on the night of the full moon. He strangled Sam with his wire noose and secured a prepared chain-link grate filled with stones around his neck. So burdened, the home craftsman would disappear into the depths of Lake Bulwell and never float on the surface as a bloated, watery corpse. Martinus gave the dead man a forceful kick and rubbed his chunky hands together, as country priests sometimes do after they have thrown a last symbolic pile of earth onto a coffin before it disappears into the damp ground for eternity. Wiping the dirt from his hands as he walks from the grave. Eleanor Rigby, The Beatles, completely satisfied with himself and the world, Martinus left the scene, while Sam, the handyman, floated headfirst, following the rhythm of the waves, towards the deepest point of the night-black Lake Bulwell. The moon eerily illuminated the various signs indicating that, by monastic order, fishing, swimming, and boating on the lake were strictly forbidden under heavy penance.